I wanted to, I'm going to give a 3D share, so we have to go into different dimensions. So I wanted to take a step backwards from the parsha. In other words, there's so much going on in the parsha. The sneh and the conversation Moshe is having with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are we here? What's the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim? When we say that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, so it's a little bit of a strange thing. Was it a punishment? Was it a destiny? We have two mitzvahs to remember here. Yetzias Mitzrayim, every single day, right? One mitzvah every single day and one mitzvah once a year. Every day is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once a year on the anniversary is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Twice.
What?
Twice a day.
We didn't have it, would we be considered even Jewish? Like, on some level, it's like part of our legend.
It's so ingrained and it's so... But what's interesting is, what's the phrase? Is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not Gullus Mitzrayim. Right? We're not remembering the... You're going to say, wait a minute, Rabbi, but everybody knows the Haggadah, Maschil B'gnus, Messiah B'shvach. They have to begin telling about the slavery and all of the bad stuff. So obviously we're remembering the slavery, not just the fact that we left with all kinds of makas and miracles, right? No, you're going to say, Rabbi, come on. No. The only reason we're remembering all the bad is because we have to be able to appreciate the good. So in order to appreciate the good, you have to have the bad to contrast it with. You ever see one of these weight loss pictures? It's just a skinny guy? No. It's always what he used to look like and what he looks like now. What it was like before. That's how you have Hakaras HaTov. You can't have Hakaras HaTov if you don't appreciate how bad it was. And is Maror the same thing? We have Maror. Is Maror to remember the bitterness of the Gullus? It is to remember the bitterness. Is that only the bitterness to appreciate that we don't have it bitter anymore? In other words, what I'm asking is there any value, goal, agenda in remembering the Gullus? Is it only the Geula? Or is there something that we need to remember about the Gullus? That's what I'm asking. That's the question in a totally different area, but it's the same question. I think probably everyone here in one way or another has benched Goyma. So what do you bench Goyma for? Fuck Kaddish Baruch Hu saving you. Right, who do you think did it to? Right? So even in the Birchas HaGoyma, there's a certain recognition that whatever Kaddish Baruch Hu did to me is part of the picture, and I have to bench a Kaddish Baruch Hu for saving me, but you can't ignore the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that threw the rock at me.
So our Avayers did it thus.
What?
Hashem didn't do it thus. Our Avayers did it thus.
That's one way to look at it. But then the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it...
Hashem didn't reward you. Your mitzvahs are rewarding you.
But in other words, it's very important to always remember that there's no such thing as a Christian punishment in Judaism. Punishment is like lashing out and anger and getting back and revenge. There's no such thing in Yiddishkeit. Any difficulties we go through is simply a Kaddish Baruch Hu as our personal trainer. Because every quote-unquote punishment is really a tikkun. So we always have to go back to the negative that we experience in life and justify it and validate it and try to understand what did we learn from it, how did we grow from it, what was its purpose. And not just to say, oh good, Baruch Hashem, you were saved, and you know, Baruch Hashem, we were saved. There's a message in the Gullus, not only in the Geula. So that's what I want to focus on. So in the sheet you have over here, if you want to take a look. So there are a whole bunch of Mari Makomos that all revolve around this issue. And it's not going to be a complete picture here, but we're going to pick out a few that come up, and obviously there's going to be much more to think about, but we'll at least scratch the surface. So first things first, there's an Imre MS, right? There's the Sfas MS, Imre MS, the Ger Rebbe's. And so he makes a comment, just a snippet from a much bigger piece, Tachlis, the purpose of Gullus Mitzrayim, Haysala Voyal Yada, the Avas Hashem, was that through it we should come to Avas Hashem. Which is a very interesting thing to say. It very much sounds like this type of Birchas HaGoyma. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why'd you throw it at me again? Someone else said that to me recently. Interesting. So
I'm putting you in Gullus and you love me more.
Right. Something like that. That's supposed to be like the doctor, though. If all, like, I guess that's the doctor, maybe. But we're loving him. Okay, I don't know. But the other direction, maybe. But it's interesting that we're supposed to come to Avas Hashem, but it's coming through a galus. So the Kli Yakar, I'm just using sources that quote other things to put it all together, because really we should start with a Gemara and then the Ramban, but they quote it, so we're just going to see the Achronim and the Rishonim. So the Kli Yakar says like this: "V'mayda ki Rashana." Right, this is very famous. This is actually from Chazal. Chazal Amru Nedarim Lamed Beza Mar Aleph Bavur Sha'amar Avram. How do I know that I'm going to inherit the land? He was questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? This is the famous Gemara. And he was nenash bi'ado ateida. He was punished. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, oh, you question? So now you surely know that your children will be slaves and strangers in a strange land and slaves, etc. It's very difficult to accept this, he says. She's the one of Einish Gadol Kazeh, that all of this was a result of Avram Avinu, that he asked for a sign that his children would inherit Eretz Yisrael. Really? That really? Avram Atman Kibel Shem Einish. What was the punishment to Avram Avinu? That's even stranger. If Avram Avinu had a chisaron in his emunah or something like that, and instead of him working on it, your kids will be slaves in Egypt. Really? How does that even solve the issue? Strange thing. Okay, Libya Omer. So it seems to me, says the Kli Yakar, that Omer Begomer, I'm convinced about this. Shegalos Mitzrayim Hayloi Sibas Achiris Benechleku Boi Chazal. This is, I think, in general, this is true in Chazal, that whenever Chazal say this is the reason for something, usually you find a few Chazals like that. You know what I mean? There's more than one. So you're like, which one is it? So okay, life is complicated. There's different facets and different elements and everything. So this is how he wants to frame this comment of Chazal, that Galus Mitzrayim was an onesh to Avram Avinu. He says that you'll find all of the different, a list of all of them in the Barbanel if you want to take a look. And he says here, just to go to the underlined part, Amazeh Higira Kadosh Baruch Hu B'sere Roh Azu LaAvram. If it's not a punishment to Avraham, so then, why did he need to know? Isn't that like tragic? That there's nothing he can do about it. He's just being informed that in the future your children are going to suffer terribly. Like, what did he do to deserve that?
I think that happened the same thing where Hashem said that he's destroying stone tomorrow.
Because he could do something about it. He wanted him to daven. What?
He wanted him to daven, but he wasn't going to listen to him.
Well, but that tefillah is going to enable things in the future and all kinds of things.
At the end of the day.
But here there's no tefillah, there's no nothing. It's just, by the way, FYI.
Well, why doesn't Avram start davening?
Because apparently there's nothing to daven for.
The same kind of souls. We know at the end of the Sermon of Mor, there's nothing to daven for. Right?
That was the whole thing. Alright, so.
Well, so maybe could it be a similar thing to like Avram Avinu? When he said, if you'll protect me and give to me and everything this, then I'll you'll be a God to me. So maybe Avraham was concerned that he didn't have a zechus, or there was something lacking within him that his children wouldn't eventually ultimately get Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, right. So why is he being told this? Just to dig in.
Don't you say that the children are not punished?
Right. That's what's bothering Kli Yakar. Like, I got to pay. Anyway, so this is what he says. Alze Omar. That's what the Gemara meant when it says, "Shebaavin b'mayidaki arjana." What did Avram Avinu say, Bameida, according to this interpretation of Kli Yakar? He just wanted a sign. He believed in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He believed it would happen. But I just give me a sign. Give me a chizuk. Give me a sign. Do you need it? You need that? So I'll punish you with something that you don't need to know. You need to ask an os for what Hashem's going to do. Okay, nenash biyadai teida. Shahidia Kaddish Baruch Hu davar shal tsa'aro. Just to cause him that pain. That you should learn that what you need to know, you need to know, and you shouldn't, you know, work beyond that. You shouldn't be asking for things that you don't need to know. Very interesting fact, Kli Yakar.
He wasn't being punished. He was being punished for a lack of emunah.
Not for the lack of, well, yeah, on a certain level, a lack of emunah, right? But asking for a sign.
And that punishment, how is that indicating emunah?
So I'm going to tell you something that you don't want. It's like exactly the opposite. So I'll tell you something that you don't need to know. You want to know something you don't need to know? I'll tell you something you don't need to know. It's going to be painful.
It's not the thing that
right.
You...
Right. So according to Kli Yakar, you're going to have to say that therefore what happened to Klal Yisrael had nothing to do with Avram Avinu. That's what he's saying. It had nothing to do. It wasn't pshat that Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim because of what Avram Avinu did. It's not the pshat. It's only that it was revealed to Avram Avinu, and that's what the Gemara means.
Part of the process of becoming a Jew in order to...
Yeah, you have to give a different answer. What that answer is, we have to figure out. But you have to give a different answer.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have half of what we believe in.
What's the difference? Because he was told about Saddam, and Hashem wanted him to his tefillah. So isn't the future in fact that you're...
I think not. I think that whenever a Kaddish Baruch Hu, next time a Kaddish Baruch Hu says to you, and he says, I'm thinking about doing this. Yeah? I'm thinking about doing this. Why are you telling me this? He wants you to daven. He wants you to do something. He wants to see a response. But if a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, this is happening, I'm not asking you. This is what's happening. You should surely know that this is the future. So then he's not asking you to daven. He's just telling you, why are you telling me this? Apparently not.
Okay.
Right, apparently not. The Baal HaTurim has interesting remez along these lines before we move on to the next one. B'ma yidah ki rashana. B'ma yidah, the words b'ma, with what, is you know what Atbash is, yeah? Atbash or Atbash?
Okay, just one more thing. Yeah. If Abraham's demons to feel it couldn't change, so what are we dialing for? If we're asking for precautions and Abraham...
No, I hear what you're saying. Not like that. In other words...
potential to possibly change it.
If a Kaddish Baruch Hu makes a gzeira,
okay,
and he's just informing Avram Avinu that this is the future and there's nothing you can do about it, then the davening can't do anything.
Okay.
But that's generally not the case, unless we happen to know somehow, we would never know. We would never know that there's a gzeira in Minashamayim that we can't change.
Did he tell Avram that there's nothing you can do about it?
I think that's what Yadoa Teda means. You should know.
Okay.
Everything can always be. Right? Isn't that what...
This, we're going to see, all of the different pshatim are saying that this was necessary. We have to figure out why. But this was a necessary thing that had to happen in order for whatever exactly the purpose is.
Is there another place in Tanakh that uses the same language of the Lashon of Yadav?
I'm sorry, I didn't do that much homework. My fault. And I don't have a photographic mirror. So listen to this. You know what Atbash is? Atbash, you heard Atbash? Atbash, Gardak, yeah? Yeah, it's a form of gematria, where you take the first letter of the aleph bays and then reverse, the bum, 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 until you get to the middle. So in Atbash, bima is shin yud sadi, which we're not going to pronounce, and it whatever, and the gematria of shin yud sadi is, anybody, 300, and 90 and 10, 400. Right? What does it say over there? How long are your children going to be suffering for? 400 years. What's the chisaron? In his question, in Bema, in his asking, in the question, was the chisaron, and therefore the mida keneged mida, and the response was that was going to be how long that the problem was going to exist for. So that, you know, that dovetails. You can take it in a different direction as well, but that's very interesting. That's what the Baal HaTurim points out. Now, the Ramban is a little bit famous for taking his own direction on this one, as Gullus Mitzrayim was also a punishment to Avram Avinu. Chazal say it's because of Bama Yidah Ki Rashan. The Ramban, and it's quoted here in the Shem Mishmuel, he says, Kol HaBen Yod, when they threw the babies into the water, the decree, he says, Hineh HaRamban Nasantam LeGullus Mitzrayim SheAvraham Chata Chet Gadol B'Shigaga Shehevi ishto had tzadekes b'michshol avoin mipnei pachdei pen yahargu, that he, when they went to Mitzrayim, the first time they left Eretz Canaan, there was a ra'av. Interesting. There was a famine. And they left because of the famine to go to Mitzrayim. And what did he do over there? He was afraid. So he said, tell everybody, Sarah, say that you're my sister. And Shitaka was kidnapped. So the Ramban looks at that as a total negative. That this was not a positive thing. This was a mistake. And Avraham Avinu should not have done it. And he put the tzaddikas in danger and all kinds of terrible things. And he shouldn't have left because of the Rav. He should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban is very negative against Avraham Avinu for this one. And he writes that was the result. Just like you left because of a Rav and you ended up in Mitzrayim and all these things happened. So too, that's going to happen to your children in the future.
And the border was closed. He would have never left Eretz Yisrael.
So yeah, I guess it's a chaval. He wouldn't have to live through COVID. So the Ramban says that basically what happened because of the Maisa Avos Simon Levanim, he placed into the DNA of Klal Yisrael what was going to have to happen in the future. So he doesn't look at it, I don't think, as a punishment to Avraham Avinu so much as it was a planting of a negative element in the DNA that was just going to be expressed later on in Klal Yisrael.
not a punishment, or is it a punishment?
It is and it isn't, depending on how you look at it. It's not a punishment of Avraham Avinu directly, but he did something wrong, and because he did something wrong, it was a shkaga, it was a shogeg, and maybe he went through things, whatever, to fix it, but he put into the DNA of Klal Yisrael, the Ma'aseh Avosim and Labanim, that this is going to have to happen later.
So if he did it that way, so then the end of the day, according to Ramban, children can be punished for the sins of the fathers.
According to the Ramban, just like if a person is an alcoholic during pregnancy, there are consequences, even in as far as the DNA may go, so too, the Avos and the DNA of Klal Yisrael comes out.
So it's not a direct response, but that means they could have changed it.
Theoretically. If there was enough of a tikkun by Avraham Avinu, maybe he could have fixed it, maybe.
In Vigo, we say for us, for our grandkids to blame us for...
Anachnu Avosinu Chatanu.
Right.
Yeah. But Anachnu, I mean, our focus is that. Yeah.
You can't blame your grandfather or father for being an addict.
So what's interesting over here is that the Shemi Shmuel attacks the Ramban, but he throws... He throws something out. Chazal say that the only time that children could be punished for their father's sins is when they repeat it. So they could put themselves sort of in a worse situation, perhaps, than it would have been had they been the only ones to do it.
Russia
by Russia? But that if they could, whatever. If they repeat it, I think it might even be worse than if they had been the only ones.
Why? I think just the opposite.
Because they're not being punished for father's sins at all. Doesn't answer the kasha.
No.
Whatever, it's taking us way too far. But be that as it may. So the Shemi Shmuel throws something else at the Ramban here, but he doesn't attack him on his own. He attacks him with a Maharal. It's always easier to attack with a Maharal than by yourself. So he quotes the Maharal saying, the Maharal thinks that this is absolutely ridiculous. So he says, Adirabba, I underline this part, Galus Mitzrayim Haisa Siba Liyavidas Avraham Avinu Olav Hashalom Mitzrayim. It's the exact opposite, he claims, of what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that because what Avraham Avinu did, it set into the DNA of Klal Yisrael something for the future. No. It's because the future was already set that Avraham Avinu had to go to Mitzrayim. Whatever it's going to be, because there was a Rav, he had to go to Mitzrayim. It's going to be Negoyim.
According to Avinu,
it's a
Pazatom.
Down.
He was supposed to go down there.
To pave the way. Correct.
So he had that positive trait, whatever that was.
Right, so he set into play certain things. What happened to Paro before Sarah came out? All the order of physics got closed up. There was all these Nigoyim, Gidolim, Lifaro. Nigoyim, so it's not the same word as Makis, but Rabbeinu Bachaye, and I don't remember if the Ramban is
also.
It could be somebody tries to link it up. Like a Rav Pinchas Friedman maybe or something. But it sounds like something that someone would do. And when he left, how did he leave?
Berchosh
Gadol. He left with all kinds of presents from Paro, and that's how Klal Yisrael were supposed to leave. That's in Brisbane Mazar. Bacharechen Yetu, Berchosh Gadol. You're going to leave with great wealth.
Where do we learn that you walk the length and the width of something and you kind of like take ownership of it?
So by Avraham Avinu, it says that Kosh Baruch Hu told him that you should travel all over to Israel. Yeah. And that he had certain kochos and certain, yeah. So he writes here, the Shemi Shmuel, the less that the underlying part towards the bottom, Ubivada idividi divrilikim chayim. For sure, all of this is MS, it's all true. The Yesh Laimar, the Tchilas Halichasal Mitzrayim, Mipnei Rav, Huchet. The Ramban is right because the fact that Avraham Avinu left to go to Mitzrayim, that he shouldn't have done. Well, Achar Shehiskima Daitel Aredes Mitzrayim, but after he decided that's where he's going to go, he could have gone to Hawaii or something, right? I mean, he could have, where do you go during COVID? I don't know, Florida. Like, he could have gone someplace else. But once he decided he's going to Mitzrayim, Bishvil Zen, Nigzar, Shagolas, Tiab, Mitzrayim. It's both things at the same time. Because there was like a future that was a little bit undetermined. Because it says they're going to be strangers in a strange land, and they're going to be slaves. But it doesn't say where. So the fact that Avraham Avinu did this negative thing of leaving, so he determined what was going to be, but it was going to be anyway. But which place was determined because of the chayt? So it all dovetails. It all fits together in one big picture. That's the same Shmuel wants to say.
Mitzrayim just happened because that's where he went?
Yeah. Because he chose Mitzrayim, off whom? Now that's where the Brisbane Mitzrayim is going to end up occurring.
Did the Brisbane Mitzrayim come before or after?
After. After.
If you go through the Pesukim on the 8th, it's not necessarily the case.
Okay.
Question of how close it's a Zachar going.
Maybe it works out better if you say it was before.
Back, it goes 75, where it says it was 75 and went down, but it's only 70 and they're up.
Okay, so maybe it works out even better in that sense. Okay.
So that is the reason why Yosef was sold to the Ishmaelim and not to anybody else.
Why Dafka Ishmael? That's what you're trying to say? Why?
Because if Yosef wasn't sold to the Ishmaelim, then they wouldn't have been brought down ultimately to Eretz Mitzrayim.
Right. He had to go to Mitzrayim.
Right. So he had to have been bought because he was sold a few times.
Right.
So what if
they would have taken him to Florida?
Right.
So they had to go somewhere that was going to Mitzrayim.
That he was going to be brought. Right. Ultimately, that
this is a little to accept the bomb. I mean, because Avraham Avinu goes in, there's no food. There's a terrible situation. He goes to kids being thrown generations later into walls, and they're killing their children. And
so that's kind of what that's what Hashem Yishmael is saying. Is
it
also
seems kind of an extreme punishment for
right.
somebody just
so
trying to survive.
Let's backtrack. So the Hashem Yishmael wants to split hairs here a little bit. He's saying that that's not really true. It's not pshat that Avraham Avinu was punished for going. Pshat is he was determining the unknowns of what had to happen to Klal Yisrael anyway. What was happening to Klal Yisrael was decreed in Bris Meinah B'Sarim, and we don't know why yet. We still haven't explained why. But he agrees with the approach that we've been taking that it's going to happen, and that's not because of Avraham Avinu. So then, why do Chazal, why is Ramban, why are they all saying it's a punishment to Avraham Avinu? What are they saying? No. So
strange.
The first approach was it's only because he asked to know something he didn't need to know, so he's informed. That's A. And this pshat in Ramban, because Ramban spells it out more clearly, so he says, the Shem Yishmael claims that pshat in the Ramban is that because Avraham Avinu chose Mitzrayim, that had nafkaminas for the future that was going to happen anyway, but who says Mitzrayim? Didn't have to be Mitzrayim. No, now it has to be Mitzrayim. Because he put into the DNA of Klal Yisrael that he was going to end up consequences in Mitzrayim.
That seems irrelevant.
But it's not a punishment to him. It's not a punishment.
One way or another.
Right, but that's...
It wasn't really a punishment, it was just dictating where it was going
to
occur.
Correct, because it had to happen anyway.
Okay.
But he's explaining the Ramban. Right. Okay, so now we're going to shift gears. So let's try to understand a little bit, well, if this is all going to happen, and Bris Meinah B'Sarim has stated this, or Klal Yisrael, like, what is that all about then, if it's not happening as a punishment because of something that Avraham Avinu did? So the Shaloh has a line, B'tachlis Galus Mitzrayim V'hag Ge'ula, the purpose of the Galus Mitzrayim and the redemption, Haisa L'Kabal HaTorah.
That's Pesach.
Yeah, this is what it's all about, right. So this is interesting. We always expect that, well, the Ge'ula was to get the Torah. We left Mitzrayim to get the Torah. But the Galus was to facilitate Kabbalah HaTorah? The Galus?
Well, you had to, you know, descend to a certain level so that...
So that what?
They were in position to accept it.
Okay, so let's try to put our finger on it. Okay, so there's a possibility of like identifying as a slave that may be necessary, right? What do
you
say?
Right.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
You're saying something else?
Yeah, same thing.
Wasn't there a process when we came out of there, since we're on our way to our Sinai, that Hashem was taking us up those levels? And trying to get us out of the slave mentality.
Ooh, so that would be the opposite,
but see,
right? Because according to that, the fact that we were avadim was a negative, not necessarily a positive.
You got to be broken down before you can build. You got to be broken down before you can build the
right. Sometimes you have this idea, especially when it comes to like an addiction or something that you sort of like have trouble getting over. Does that have to do with the Yetzer Hara? Should we look at the Yetzer Hara as like an addiction that we have? That you sort of have to like realize how bad it is before you can get out of it.
What is it similar to? Avraham Avinu and the Shvatim. That's one thing. Sent to Gullus. They weren't on a level of...
Destroy them?
Yeah, who went down to Gullus? What was Hashem trying to do in the sense of...
There was no Gullus until the Shvatim were all dead. It wasn't like, you know, slavery. Right?
Pre-going down to Mitzrayim, you had Yaakov Avinu living with the Shvatim, right, on this level of holiness that, whatever, right, it was certainly beyond what we can understand. So Hashem says, I'm going to send them down to Mitzrayim to break them down so that I can build them back up. They're ready up. Right, they would have stayed.
Right, it's as if a Kodesh Baruch Hu put them in a situation where they're going to end up doing Avodah Zarah, and just to take them out of it. So
right,
just give them the Torah now.
Just leave them there. They were already on that level.
Right.
Right. It's
what would last eternity.
Who said?
It's also just difficult
because it gets watered down as it goes generations down. Anyway, you can see through
through the actions of Yaakov's of the Shvatim, how they're justifying some of their actions through.
But if people are products of their environments, and you're taking them out of Eretz Yisrael, where they're living literally, you know, with Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim, if that's the area that you grow up with, then it's all about trying to get as close to Hashem as possible. You say, yeah, let's go to Mitzrayim.
But even with the Shvatim, it's pulling away from the level of where Yaakov was.
And it's also, some of their actions. Most are supposed to be true in the future, that you can be on the worst level and still.
Question is it worth it? You know, is that a good idea? Anyway, so there's going to be a lot of depth here and a lot of different angles on this. There's not like one solid answer. There's going to be a lot of different answers, and some of them are going to be, to ultimately answer, it's going to be like Kabbalah that I don't have a finger on. But well, at least we'll talk about some of
the issues. To a certain degree, it's also similar to, like, you know, the military. They take the new recruits in and they break them down completely.
But why?
To build them up to the point where they're behaving and they're reacting to what's being told to them.
To make them into good soldiers. In other words, the idea there is that because I have my own ideas, we have to make sure you understand you don't have your own ideas.
Right.
You're going to listen to the boss.
But that's a little bit different because that's kind of like a threshing. Because they're trying to weed out those that are not strong enough to make through the program.
Sometimes that's true too.
They want to bring out those that are too smart to stay in the program.
Right, both ways.
It's both.
But in this situation here too, to be able to be subservient to Hashem, you need to get away from your own ego. Your own ego can greatly inhibit your relationship.
But just the opposite, right? You realize that how great you are, and therefore Hashem is even better. And that's the whole machlokas between God the Sodom and going from the opposite perspective. Right? There's two approaches in this. Either we're terrible people and we have to be able to improve, or we're great people and how much better can we be? Isn't that the general approach, right?
Chassidus versus Musar. Right. And even within Musar to a certain extent.
Sure,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
So, and I guess some ideas.
The only thing that we for sure know about Judaism, the answer is yes, it's a machlokes.
Well, here it's not so much machlokes, it's more of facets. It's really more of facets, as we started with from the very beginning over here, that the Kli Yakar, with perfect Kli Yakar, facets of a gem. That there really are a lot of facets that are going on, and they're all happening, and they're all correct and all true from different angles. So you put it all together.
Which he, by the way, is the Gematria 210, which is the actual years that they say in Mitzrayim.
What is?
Yakar. By 310. Oh, whoops, go off by 100.
That's another type of Gematria.
It was a good time. It was a good time.
Plus 100.
Okay. So the Bnei Yisachar. So in the actual Bnei Yisachar, not in his Parashat Chumash this time. So here, let's just go through it quickly. That he talks about, his kasha is Pesach Matzah Maror is out of order, right? A lot of people ask this kasha probably at their Seder. It shouldn't be Pesach Matzah Maror. It should be Maror Matzah Pesach, or maybe the reverse. But Maror for sure comes first, right? Why in the world would Maror come last? So that's the question he works with. And see, he has a line here where he quotes in the Chida. In the Sefer Kisei David, Kasav Hashem Yalka David Vezel Lashayne. Tam LeGalus Mitzrayim. Why was there Galus in Mitzrayim? The Galus, the Torah Ruchanias, because Torah is completely spiritual. Torah is not part of this world. In fact, the Zman HaTorah isn't even part of this world. That's why we have to create a time to get the Torah by doing Sefiras HaOmer. You ever think about it that way? There's no date on the calendar where we got the Torah. We had to create a date with us counting in order to have a date, so to speak, when the Torah is given. The Torah is not even part of the calendar year. It's not. You have to create a date of Shavuos by counting yourself. It's not. It could be different days in the calendar, technically, with Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRe'iyah.
On Yom Kippur when we got it.
What?
On Yom Kippur when we actually got it.
Yeah.
Which is not really a day of the calendar, which takes place in Beis HaMikdash.
But that's the physical part of it. We got something. But the idea of the Matan Torah, that the Shavuos, when Kishbrok actually said the Torah, and it's given over in Ruchnias, and there's like a transformation, that there's no date for. It's all, that's all Shavuos.
So Yom Kippur's day that doesn't exist. On Shavuot, on the day we got Torah, which is in the Malam, right, in Ateva, on Yom Kippur, which is the day that the Kohen Gadol, who's completely separate, goes into the Torah Shavuot, which is a Makom that doesn't exist in Israel.
Or space, not time necessarily, but doesn't have space. Yeah. So that's it. The Torah is completely Ruchni. It can't be that you can give the Torah to Shmutz. It doesn't work. If you're going to give Ruchnius to something physical, the physical has to be as pure as it could possibly be in order to receive it. That's why none of the other nations were able to receive the Torah. Many of you were mentioning this idea of like breaking them down. So he writes like that. To be machnia is to like make them understand that you're not a physical body. That's not what you're all about. You know, a person that Rechavim Islan, who was in the Holocaust, a person that was in a situation like this, they realize that they are not a body. This is not what it's about. I am a seichel. I am a neshama. This is not who I am. So he says that's what they went through so that they would be able to receive the Torah. So it's not just the redemption. It's that the gullus itself was a breaking down of Klal Yisrael, lahachalish koyach hayetzer hara, to weaken the koyach of the yetzer hara, the tuchal ishkoin b'amater, and thereby all of these individuals would be able to receive the Torah. So I just have one question or ha'ara over here, which is that I don't know that he means, to a certain extent, obviously this is going to be true even today, but we obviously don't go through this today. So in the essence, he means that's what was necessary to receive the Torah. Yeah? Of course it's going to be true of every one of us. To whatever extent we also work on the Yetzer Hara, also we'll be able to be Mekabel greater. But he's talking about the generation that got it. It rested on them. It was brought to the world through them. So they have to be on that Madriga. That's why it's Dafik Yisrael Mitzrayim. And Ali, well, what about today? Why is it any different today? We have the Torah already. We, of course, we have our own Kabbalah Torah. But you know what I'm saying? It's a little... Okay. That's what he wants to say when the pasuk says "Vayasimo alav sarei misim laman anoso v'siv l'sam." So this pasuk means we interpret it in the pshat paro placed on them all kinds of taskmasters so that he could cause them all kinds of suffering. So he says, don't read it as paro, read it as a kaddish baruch. Paro was the vehicle; it was the trigger. But a kaddish baruch placed on them all of this. And that's all so that they would be able to be mekabel the Torah. V'lo ya'atzrim geshem achoymem lekabel ha'Torah. He says even that may be the pshat that when this is Parsha, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you want a sign that you're the one, that you're the man and I'm sending you, it's because right now where we're speaking, that's going to be the culmination of all of this. You're going to be back right here by the snap. It's all going to come full circle. He says that's because all of this bitterness of Gullus will only be appreciated and understood in hindsight. Going through it, there's no way to like feel, oh yeah, this is what I need to do for Kabbalah Satira. The bitterness of that experience is so great that nobody could possibly appreciate it going through it. It's a serious Gullus. But in retrospect, when you leave, you're going to be back on this mountain. This is where you're going to, this is the whole point, is to get here. But it's unnecessary, and he compares it to being sick and taking medicine and the bitterness of medicine. He says that's why it's called maror, and that's why we're not focusing on avdus in the Seder, right? The maror. The maror is to remind us of avdus. That's like the charoses, right? The charoses is supposed to be bricks and mortar and avdus. That's not, and that's a derabana, it's a minig, that's not. The maror is the bitterness. It's the way it tastes. It's the flavor. And that's why it comes last, he says. Because the only way to appreciate the bitterness is after it's been justified, when you've gotten the Torah because of it. Now you can go back and say, okay, I got it. It was all, you know, it was all sort of, you know, worth it. Very interesting. Interesting heart. This might be what the Al-Sheikh says as well. The Al-Sheikh says, you know, goes, this is, you know, already, can you believe this? That the Al-Sheikh, you know, says that in Gan Eden,
data.
What?
Data.
So, you know, the Al-Sheikh says that when Adam HaRishon, so when he already had this Zuhama Sanash, that something called Zuhama, Ik, some sort of impurity, entered into Adam and Chava and the whole world with the eating from the Eitz Hadas, and that's what Chazal say, that on Har Sinai, Paska Zuhamasan, that was the end of the Zuhama. So he says that might be related to all of the Galas Mitzrayim, that in order to get rid of that, certain things are necessary. I don't think, and I could be wrong, I don't think these are two different ideas. I think they're going to go together. And just like there's an avoda of what we appreciate as working on the Yetzirah, we don't appreciate how that's also working on the Zuama, because we don't know what Zuama is. But Mamela, our avodas Hashem in getting rid of Yetzirah is also dealing with that. It's just Ruchni, so we don't really know, we don't put our fingers on it. But it's happening all at the same time, so it could be that's exactly what he's saying as well. And Svas Emes has a very interesting heart, which takes us to a slightly different angle here, that one of the things that resulted of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it exists today, is that it forced Klal Yisrael to have an identity. They were assimilating, and the fact that, you know the famous line from Rav Meir Shapiro, I don't know exactly how he said it, but he said something to the effect of, if Klal Yisrael doesn't make Kiddush, then the Goyim make Havdalah. You heard this before? If Klal Yisrael doesn't sanctify themselves uniquely as the Jewish people, then the Goyim make Havdalah. They don't make Kiddush, we don't make Kiddush, they make Havdalah. They force us to realize that we're Klal Yisrael. And that's how it's always worked throughout all of history. And the first time you see that, of course, is in Mitzrayim. So he says, the Torah, how many books of the Torah are there? The trick question.
Seven.
Right? We know there are five. But because it's by Hibin Saron has the nuns, the upside down nuns, right? So that's considered to be a parsha on its own, which means there's a parsha before and a parsha after. So you end up with seven. Yeah?
It's not what it says in Yirtzah.
Whatever. You start off with five, but then you add some on because you have a Hibin Saron is an extra parsha that was inserted over there. So you have yes, you have Bamibar up until Vayibin Saron. So that's one, two, three, four.
The nuns upside down in the Torah, that delineating the that part of the Torah that breaks that one thing into three instead of one.
Right.
So why is it not just a new parsha, not a an actual?
Why is it two separate?
Right. It's supposed to be a separate safe. That's it. It's a separate safe.
Safer
right?
Itself.
It's a safer on its own. So therefore, there's the Bamidbar is really three instead of two, instead of one.
Like
you're adding two. Anyway, so be that as anyway, that's the axiom that he begins with, that there is a way to look at the Torah as seven. What would be the significance of looking at the Torah as seven? That those are the days of the week, the days of Bria Sa'olam. So that each one of the Sfarim of the seven Chumshay, seven Shivei Torah, I don't know how you say that, but all of those seven books of the Torah correspond to the days of Bria, which would mean that Shmos corresponds to the second day. What happened on the second day? Havdalah.
What were the seven? I didn't get that.
Because Bamidbar is really broken up, according to one opinion in the Gemara, between Bamidbar up until Vayhi Bin Saron. Vayhi Bin Saron is a separate sefer, and then till the end. I don't remember.
So wouldn't that be six?
It's seven because it's taking Bamidbar, which is already one, and adding two. Vayhi Bin Saron and the end. So it's five, six, seven. So the Havdalah between Moshe is my Bracious. If Bracious who Bechinas Chesed Lavro, okay, he says a lot more than this. But what else would be amazing to do? But we're gonna keep it short. Mavdil ben Rakia la Rakia is Havdalah. Havdalah is what occurs on the second day. The nuance he adds here. Okay, so that idea in and of itself means that one of the purposes of Yetzias Mitzrayim was that Klal Yisrael should always be a nation apart. That was built in. It will always be different. It will always be different. Nothing you can do about it. You don't make Kiddush, they do Havdalah. That was set to Klal Yisrael. That's
they had that
A.
Beforehand, right? They were always different.
But they were never a nation. They were always just a family, and now they're a nation, and now they're different.
You have to expand more.
Yeah, so it's a new thing. So, okay, that's A. And he says a lot more than this. He connects this to Chesed and Din and Yitzchak and Avram. He does amazing things in this piece. You should take a look. But short and sweet for now.
So that means Yitzchak would also be Mavdil.
Yeah. You got to take a look. It's really cool Yitzchak stuff. It's really cool stuff. But then he points out that we know that Chitov was not on the second day. It's repeated twice on the third to make up for it. So the third day you have that Hashem said Chitov because you can't say Chitov but Havdalah. So he says, that means that the second is really leading to the third. Third is Yaakov, third is Emes. So the Torah is the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Havdalah is to get you to the next. The Kitov isn't until the next part. The Golus itself needs to get the Yetzias Mitzrayim for the Kitov.
Kitov is Torah?
Yeah, Tov is, yeah, that's a whole, gematria there too.
So Yetzias Mitzrayim and Shavuos would then fall into Tuesday, fall into the third day of Shavuos, which would be Kitov.
Okay, Tarshina, we got to do more. Okay, I don't know. I got to think it through. Just to finish with this, there's a lot more to talk about, but the Imre MS, so he writes that the Gemara points out, Gemara Pesachim, that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends Klal Yisrael to Galus among the nations, you know why he does that? Kadesh Yitoisu Aleim Gerim. So that converts will come and join the Jewish people. So he interprets that homiletically. Converts doesn't necessarily have to mean physical people that convert. It could mean things that got trapped among the nations. There are all kinds of sparks, all kinds of kedusha, all kinds of things that need to become part of Klal Yisrael that got stuck among the nations. This leads us into a parsha that I'm not going to go into because I certainly am not, I'm not holding in it. But in Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus, they bring us up a lot that the Torah and Dibur was in Galus in Mitzrayim. And that the real reason, the real depth of why we had to end up in Mitzrayim, among the other reasons that we've discussed, is that in Mitzrayim, because of the Tumah of Mitzrayim, perhaps, and the Dor HaMabul maybe did this, that they created a situation where the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah is the words of Hashem, and the words of Hashem resulted in this physical world. Hashem spoke, and there's a world. So all the letters of the Torah are in this world. So they messed it up, and they ended up taking all of these letters and trapping them in Mitzrayim. So Klal Yisrael, by being in Mitzrayim, somehow were able to redeem all of those qualities from Mitzrayim and reveal the Dibur of Hashem as it gets expressed in the Dibur Hashem of Torah. And so that's really what it was all about. It was a preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. It's all the same thing. It's just a different level of how the Galus was enabling Kabbalah Satorah. So that's another level. Again, that's all Kabbalah and, you know, mysterious stuff. But that's just another level of all of this. So what did we say on Al Regal Achas? That there's a lot of different facets over here. We started off with the idea that you see in Chazal and the Ramban that it was all a punishment to Avram Avinu, and we saw a lot of pushback to that. Not shot that it happened because it was a punishment to Avram Avinu, but that Avram Avinu was informed as a punishment, and maybe Mitzrayim was determined to be the location because of Avram Avinu. But it has nothing to do with the necessity of Galus Mitzrayim. That was something else. What is that all about? So that has to do essentially with Kabbalah Satar. It had to happen for Klal Yisrael to receive the Torah. Either because the Torah is so pure and so spiritual that you have to do that, or because there's no other nuances and other facets going on that have to do with redeeming things from Mitzrayim or whatever it is. But that... So just to flesh it all out. So Yitzias Mitzrayim is very critical, but it's not necessarily exactly the way we always think of it. It goes back to Bris Fein of Isarim, which means this was something that was necessary, you know, to happen for Klal Yisrael, ultimately for Kabbalah Satara, and all those nuances are facets of what we gained from it, and what we still hold on to Bizman is that.